listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Okay, good afternoon. I think I'm finally getting there with hardly ever coming up and saying good morning. So it's taken a bit of time, but I think I'm almost there. But then again, I shouldn't speak too soon because you know what's going to happen next time, don't you now? Okay, so we're continuing our series on Surprise the World. Like I mentioned earlier, there's 3 more copies if anyone wants to come in and catch up and get ahead for the sermon. As you may notice, I find that there's always bits and pieces I like in my books, and I like to be able to scribble all through them. So, we're talking about this week is Bless, the first of the 5 habits. So, for those of you who haven't read the book, these are the habits. So, the 5 habits are to bless, to eat, to listen, to learn, and to be seen as being sent. So obviously as the sermons progress, they'll make a bit more sense. A few of them are fairly self-explanatory. But we are looking at the first one. We're looking at bless. So I was having a conversation actually last week with a guy from the church here actually. And he's only just started coming and he said, he looked at the 5 attributes and he goes, you know what, I kind of do most of those during the week anyway. I'm like, well, that's good, now we can keep adding to that. But the thing is that I think as a church, we as a church are pretty good at most of these. Like there's some people here that do these so well. Like one of the signs of the one of the ways that we bless people is words of affirmation, which I've discussed, which is why there's papers and some people scribbling while I'm talking. Either that or they've already got some really good notes from what I've said, and I don't think that's the case. But Effie is on Zoom and I can see her picture up on the screen, so I know she's still on there. Effie is amazing at words of affirmation. The amount of random times where something's binged on my phone and I've picked it up and it's just a random message from Effie just saying, I love you, I appreciate you, you do so much, and just words of encouragement. And they're totally out of the blue. And most of the time, they come when I'm feeling a bit la-la, a bit, you know, no one notices, poor me kind of syndrome. And luckily I've got over that because try living in a house with teenagers, no one notices. No one cares. And even if you tell them, they still don't care, do they, Danny? No. So what I'm saying is that we're already pretty good at it, but let's just try to move it to the next level. And like Caden said, these aren't the answer. We're not just going to suddenly do these 5 things and by the end of the year we're going to have to move to the entertainment centre because we're going to convert thousands of people. I don't see that happening. But what we're going to do is we're going to show the world in a better way what God is about and what he's like. And we're going to be better reflectors of him. We're going to show his attributes in a more meaningful way. So what my takeaway near the end of this sermon will be is looking at doing those blessings, the way we bless people, doing them intentionally and having the right motivation to do them. Because if our point of blessing people is to drag people into church, it's not going to work. I've got people who I've been blessing for years and I never see them at church. But should I stop blessing them? I don't think so. Thank God sometimes sends us to those people who we just continually bless and we don't get the thanks that sometimes we want, but God's given us the thanks in other ways. Okay, so when you look at bless in a concordance, so obviously most of you know what a concordance is. It's a list in a book. It can either be separate or in the back of your Bible that lists where the word is used in the Bible or in a text. So the concordance, when you look up bless, the one I looked up, had blessing and blessed all basically as this blanket covering, and showed all these verses where all of those words were all mentioned. And so I've put just a couple of them on a slide. Is that the first one? Maybe I'm wrong. Yep, must be the first one. So when we look at blessing, we can't go past, this is 2021, and I'd have to say one of the biggest Christian songs of last year slash this year is the blessing. So we're going back to where that originated, and I think I did mention this fairly recently over the last few months about the fact that the blessing song that we hear all over Christian radio is based from this bit of scripture. And this is what it says about, so this was the Lord talking to Moses, telling him how to go out and bless people. He says, "You bless the Israelites, you say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face on you and give you peace. And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." So basically, yet again, what has been mentioned is the blessing is speaking encouragement into people's lives. It's saying, I care for you and I want the very best for you. And it was actually, I'm fairly sure, mentioned in the book, even when we say bless you when someone sneezes, it's wishing them good health. It's blessing. It's saying something positive into their lives. Now, when I think of blessings, what could be greater than speaking these words of affirmation into people's lives? What could be more important for us to do to those people around us? There probably are lots of things, but I'm just saying, it's up there. Okay, another blessing. Mark 14, verse 61. But Jesus was silent. So this is when he was being tried, just before his crucifixion. But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Oh, that's a bit of a different one. So we've been talking about blessing as in we're giving stuff to other people. But this is turning it, saying we're talking about God all of a sudden. And for a minute, that had me scratching my head. Mind you, a lot of things do have me scratching my head. But the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines blessed in a religious context as something held in reverence, something honoured in worship. God, I can't think of anyone better than God for somebody to be held in reverence, something to be honoured in worship. And I thought of straight away, like the Blessed Trinity, we use this word quite often. And so the moral to this story is that they're all kind of under the same banner of bless, blessing, blessed. And obviously, if we got Pastor Alan up here or some Greek scholars to break it down, they could explain it far more eloquently than me, but it's not going to happen. But basically, they can all be linked back to each other. So one of the translations of bless that we've noticed is to speak well of someone. And also, I think of when we honour God, it's the same almost. We're speaking well of God because he deserves it. We're blessing him when we worship him. Okay, we'll jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. So this is just a little bit, I'm not actually going to read it all, but right in the middle, you can see in bold, spiritual blessings. So this is another type of blessing. This is where God has blessed us. He's given stuff that he's going to build us up. And basically, it was spiritual blessings. That we have all of these things that God given us. So where am I going? I'm not really sure, but when we get there, I'll let you know. Is that all of these blessings are things so far that we've looked at that are absolutely amazing, don't you think? Like, I think of God as being absolutely amazing. I think the spiritual blessings that he's given us are amazing. And so what I want to start with is that I don't want us to go into this idea of blessing others, of thinking it has to be something big and amazing. Like, when we bless people, I'm not expecting to walk up to Hayden on the street and just go, you know what, you're a really good guy. I really love how you put so much effort into Christmas and sharing the cheer around your street. Now, that is a blessing in a form. I don't expect Hayden then to just be blown away going, oh, like, that's just so amazing. I don't expect that it's going to have that result. But I expect that continual words of affirmation spoken into our lives is going to build us up and improve who we are. So that's the point of blessing those around us. Not that they're all going to be life-changing experiences, because we're not going to have all life-changing experiences when people bless us. So, as I said, there seems to be something in the blessings that is really special. And I don't think they always need to be. But I do believe that when we step out and bless others, that to an extent that is something special. It's something special when we take time, stop looking at ourselves and look at other people around and try to find ways to encourage them that is worthwhile. I'm going to skip that scripture. So this is what the book breaks blessings down into three main types of blessings. The three main types he talks about are words of affirmation, which we touched on, acts of kindness, and gifts. So let's look a slight bit closer. Words of affirmation. So as we mentioned, you can write a note. You can send an email, you can text, you can use Messenger, you can use WhatsApp, you can probably use 100 other different apps and ways of passing messages. But you can also just walk up to people and speak words of affirmation into their lives. So that's generally what words of affirmation are. And the reason I prefer those three, that I've got the picture, the note, the text message, and even an email, is that people can hold on to them for longer. If someone says something encouraging in your life, it's good, and I'm sure you'll remember it, but has anyone ever got a note written to them that they've kept for a long time and can revert back to? In this Bible that is well used, this was given to me as a teenager from my then youth leader, one of my youth leaders at that time. And here's the message without who wrote it to me, but it just says, "Dear Ronald, I hope and pray that the Lord will continue to keep you in his hands and cause you to grow and mature into his image each day." Now, that for me is something that I try to continually revert to. Occasionally when I open a Bible, I'm like, you know what? Like, it's a question. I question myself. Am I maturing? Am I growing into the man that God wanted me to be? And I believe he is, but I believe asking that question regularly for me is important to do. Because if I'm not maturing, if I'm not moving forwards, then I'm staying still. And some would say that if I'm staying still, I'm actually going backwards, but that's a different story. We'll leave that one. So, there are ways that we can use words of affirmation. The next one is acts of kindness. So, in the book, it suggested we could mow someone else's lawn. So, Greg, you're doing really well, mowing lots of lawns. There's babysitting. Thank you, Cuckoos, for the nice night of peace last night. We can help someone move. I'm sure Paul's definitely helped me move furniture for other people over the years, and it hasn't always been a nicer situation. Help fix something. Now, I'm shocking with computers. A few times I've gone to Colin and gone, look, I've just got this issue with my computer. No problem, I can fix it. Sometimes these little acts of kindness of helping people out are blessings. Because if I was stuck trying to do some of these things all the time, then yeah, I'd be in trouble. So there's another saying from the book that I love that says that these acts of kindness literally add strength to their arm, They lighten the recipient's load. So by doing these things, it's almost like that concept of they're falling down and you're grabbing their arm and you're lifting them up. Something that this world needs a lot more of. Especially in Australia, we always talk about the tall poppy syndrome. And we want to cut people down. And the Bible actually tells us to build others up, not to cut them down. And now, number three is gifts. Does anyone like receiving gifts? A few? Yeah? Some people like giving gifts as well? Yeah? It's okay, David, you might one day. Just joking. But gifts, the thing about gifts is I've come to realise more and more that gifts aren't always easy to give thoughtfully, especially when you don't know someone really well. Do you ever have those moments? I'm gonna throw myself in it like I quite often do. I am great at saying, you know what? A gift card is a perfect gift. You know? It's so-and-so's birthday. What are we going to get them? Oh, let's get them a gift card. And you can put the best of intentions on it because then you can say, oh, then they get something that they really want, something that they'll use. You know, sometimes it's just a little bit of a cop-out because I just don't know what to buy people. But there's others who are really thoughtful. And sometimes it's those thoughtful gifts that make all the difference. So Jericho and Wesley obviously are good mates. So Wesley's dad's pretty good at making stickers for everything since it's part of his job. So every gift lately that Jericho's got, he's got his name on it. And you'd kind of think, oh, like, what is that? But it's something that Jericho loves. Like, he gets excited. He gets a new drink bottle. It's got his name on it. He gets a skateboard. It's got his name on it. And that excites him every time. So there's one of those thoughtful gifts where when we give back a gift card, I kind of want to hide in shame. But I'm just stuck on a minor point, to be honest. So stopping and thinking about the gifts that we give people is an important habit. It's not crucial, but it does make a big difference when you stop and think about it. So the gifts that the books talk about just aren't birthdays and Christmas. Could be just expensive gifts. They could be free gifts. It could be someone going through a hard time and just needs some groceries. That can be a gift. I've got a picture of me thinking about what I could give people in the bottom corner. It's about taking that time to be thoughtful. So one of the gifts that kind of sticks in my mind that we've received over the years was when Malachi was still a baby, Jericho wasn't born yet, our fridge at home was well and truly past its use-by. It had a seal that wouldn't seal. We were living in our old house that was floorboards, but we actually had cockroaches that would occasionally come up. And a couple of times we found cockroaches in the fridge. Not exactly what you're meant to keep in your fridge. And I kind of remember Malachi being young, bills, mortgage, this, that and the other, like, what are we going to do? How much is a seal? Let's just replace a seal. And it was actually Zoe's parents who suddenly just went, you know what, we're going to bless you. Well, that wasn't their words. Their words were more like, you need a new fridge, we'll buy you a fridge. And so that fridge has served us well 15 years on. Occasionally, we'll open a fridge and I'll still think, you know what? It was that gift. It was that thought at the time that made all the difference. It was something that we'd needed at the time. So the gifts can be different colours, different shapes, different sizes. They can be for a reason, but they can be for no reason at all. They can be free or they can be costly. But gifts as a whole show that the person you're giving to that they're known, that they're cared for, and they're valued. You ever feel valued when you receive a gift? I know I do. When people have actually stopped and thought, you know what? Here's a gift. Especially those ones that aren't birthday or Christmas time. They're the ones where people just go, you know what? I've got something for you. And I was reflecting, and I'm probably going to get to it later in the message, but all of these blessings are just a sign of generosity, and that's a sign that God has already shown us. So the book suggests that you bless three people every week. And so that can come in any of those forms. It can be the word of affirmation. It can be a gift. It can be an act of kindness. And the book suggests that you do one for somebody in the church, one for somebody outside the church, and then the third is up to you. So that made me stop to think about what could that look like, and excuse my rough diagram. There we are, that's all of us. We're all in a nice circle. That's us people in the church. So we decide we're going to bless somebody else in the church. And let's just say this takes off and we're like, you know what? This blessing is a good thing. How about I start blessing more people? And it starts to build up. And we go, oh, okay, what about now if we start blessing people outside of the church? And what about if we continue to do it? All of a sudden, the book calls that the ricocheting effect. As we send a blessing and it ricochets and it just keeps bouncing around, and all of a sudden, all of those blessings are flowing. So let's say there's 40 people here. If each of us just blessed just one person, which is not even a three in a model, there's 40 blessings this week that people are going to receive. If we bless three people, like the book says, there's 120 blessings that are going to go out. Now, like we keep going back to, I'm not trying to say that we have to do something massive. And I'm not saying it's going to change your world, but I think it does have an effect as you start blessing other people and you start receiving blessings, and people who are not used to being blessed start getting blessed by other people around them, then they're going to start blessing other people. And that is what will lead to making a difference. Is that as blessings happen, blessings create more blessings, which create more. And all of a sudden, we've got a jumbled mess of blessings, which is something I'm looking forward to. Not because I want to receive anything, but because I know that that's what God wants us to do. And it's fine. They're my nieces. They can make as much noise as they want. I can zone out like the best of them. Yet again, four teenagers in the house. So everyone here likes to receive blessings in one way or another. But the important disclaimer, the underwriting principle, the underpinning idea of this is that we need to have the right motives for blessing those around us. So what is my motive? So has anyone ever looked in a concordance or in your Bible to see how many verses there are on motives? I had a quick look and I found over 40 different scripture verses that talked about our motives for doing things. Seems to be a common theme. Apparently, it could be something important. Like I mentioned earlier, if we're blessing people to drag them into church, then we're going to be in trouble. I'm just going to read out a few. They're not even on the screen. But these are just a few scriptures that talk about motives. Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs his motives." That's a good one. We might think we're doing the right thing, but God's going to weigh our motives later. 1 Corinthians says, "Let all that you do be done in love." Philippians 1 says, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill." So even preaching the word can be done from the wrong motive. Ecclesiastes 12 says, "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." So everything is going to be brought to judgment. I could go on and on. One more. Psalms 12 verse 2 says, "They speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. Ooh, flattering lips. We can say nice things about people, but if our motives are wrong, then we've missed the point. So what are our motives? Why do we bless people in a church? If I bless Pastor Alan and Effie, I know Effie makes the best baklava, so maybe I'll get some of that back. Maybe if I bless Greg, he'll come and mow my lawn because it's getting a bit long. That's not our motive, as I've mentioned. It's not about what we're going to receive from each other. It's about doing what God wants us to do. What about blessing others outside of the church? Which I've mentioned, are we doing it so we can drag them to church? You know, four times this year I've given you a gift and I haven't seen you at church once yet. What's going on? When can I expect to see you here? It's not our motives. Has anyone here ever blessed someone knowing that they're never going to repay it? I think we all have at times. As I mentioned, sometimes you're doing stuff and helping people, and in the back of your mind you're going, you know what? You probably don't appreciate it like you should, and you're probably never going to change, but I'm still going to keep doing it anyway. And to be honest, they're the hardest blessings. I find it hard to bless people. As I said, I don't want anything in return, but I want at least some sign of appreciation. Like, you know, a nod or a smile or at least a thank you. Not the kind of, here's a gift for you, oh, okay, what else have you got for me kind of attitude. Because we're going to see them once in a while. Life has those people around you. The reason I want to bless people is because of how much God has blessed me. You know, all of these blessings are a form of generosity. That generosity is a characteristic of God. Think about it this way. How many times has God spoken words of affirmation in your lives? I don't know about you, but I get words of affirmation from God fairly regularly. I read his word and he says he loves me. I'll hear a song and I'll be listening to lyrics where he says he loves me. In a time of prayer, I feel that sense of him giving me the hug and building me up. So God does it to me, why should I not then pass that on to those around me? God's given us the best gift he could ever give us in his son. So why can't we give gifts to other people that he loves around us? One of the reasons, obviously, that this book talks about giving, being generous and he's blessing other people is that it will start to live, to make us live questionable lives. So for anyone who hasn't heard the lead up to it, is the pretense behind this book is that we're meant to live lives where other people ask us the questions, what he calls questionable lives, where people come up to us and go, why are you different? Why do you do that? These are the things that will help us to start living questionable lives. Now, Tara and I were speaking 2 weeks ago when Tara spoke, starting to talk about how do you live a questionable life? And we're standing at the back and we just had a small conversation about, like what I just mentioned, when you go out of your way to help someone who doesn't appreciate it and is never going to change, for some people in the world, that's something questionable. Like, you know when you got family, and they might be on two sides of the fence, completely opposite to each other, and you go and help one and you'll be discussing it with the other side of the fence, and their first word is, why are you doing it? They don't deserve your help. Or you go to the other side and you get it back. That, to me, is that start of that questionable lives. Like, why are you helping so-and-so? Why are you doing this? You know why? Because God tells me I should. That is there, having the answer, is having the questionable lives, but being able to give an account of why we do it. So, our motives need to be considered when we're going to go and bless other people. Another thing we need to consider is, are they feeling blessed, the people that we're blessing? Sorry, this is the underpin it, and obviously I've skipped it. So it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. There's a basis for what we do. So, the basis is loving other people. It's not about what we're going to get out of it. So, I've skipped that. Now I've gone back to the fact that are the people who we're blessing feeling blessed? I love this verse. This is so good. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. So, who here wants the blessing of me mowing their lawn at 5 a.m. and banging on a window? No? No? What about a call in the middle of the night to say, you know what, you're doing a great job of parenting. Oh, I hope I haven't woken your children. It's 2 a.m., but I just thought I'd call you anyway because this is encouragement. I'm blessing you, aren't I? No. So we need to ensure that when we're blessing people, that they're actually feeling blessed out of it. So how do we know that they're going to feel blessed? Oh. How do we know that they're going to like it or dislike it? Well, the book says that we need to become students of the people we want to bless. We need to get to know the people that we're blessing. If we know how they tick, for one way of saying it, if we know what they enjoy, if we know that the pain that they're going through, if we know their struggles, then it's a good indication of how we can bless them. If all of a sudden the person who cooks in the house has gone away and the person who's left home struggles to boil water, then that's a perfect time to give a meal. Just as an example. I hear a few people saying, what are they saying? They're saying that they need meals or they're good cooks or... So... It was actually, so I'd just about completed this sermon and I was had to go for a drive today. So I had a 45-minute trip in one direction, 45-minute trip in the back. And on the way there, I'm like, I'm just going to put on a podcast. I'm going to put on a sermon and just listen to another message and just relax in the Word of God. And I put on a message from Timothy Keller. And so the one that popped up was talking about Barnabas, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that fits perfect. Let's grab that and we'll throw it in my sermon. So here it is. So this is Acts chapter 11, around 19:20, kind of bits and pieces. So this is when the new church was forming. So the church had been persecuted. And then they've started to come out of their shell and they're starting to tell people about God and about his message. And so they started with the people who were already believers. And then from there, they headed out to people who had never really heard the word before or those who were really pagans. But what started to happen is these people started hearing the word and basically revival was starting, the church was starting to build up. And so verse 21 says this, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. So they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So Barnabas has heard what's going on, and so he's been sent, and the first thing he does when he gets there is he starts encouraging the people he met there. So he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord. So when I looked up that kind of verse, I was using Bible software where you can look at different translations for the same verse. And so when I read the bit about Barnabas encouraged other people, I looked at some of the other translations, and some of the other translations were actually a bit different. One of them, I'll find my page. Basically, the translations were things like, he threw himself in with them. That's what the message said. So he got there and he threw himself in with them. And if that kind of idea in my mind was just that light bulb moment. It's just about not like, I know you guys are doing good over there, but it's coming alongside and going, you know what? Let's do this. I'm going to help you. We're going to keep going and we're going to get it done. He exhorted them is what the King James Version says. He exhorted them, which is a word we don't use so much anymore. I went out and I exhorted all my friends. No. But the meaning behind that is it's almost like encouraging isn't just that whole, well done. There's a little bit more to the encouragement that we need to do. It's almost like a pick-me-up. It's a bit like a loving hug mixed with a V energy drink. It's showing love, but it's also a bit of a, let's go, let's keep moving. So, my last sermon, can anyone remember my analogy, my object lesson that was here? Zoe does. She has to remember. Anyone else remember? Yeah, a few people are nodding and I heard the word toothpaste. It was yet again about our words, about as we say words, like toothpaste, once it comes out of the tube, it can't go back in. So, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, the first time I read that, I was thinking, oh, reap the consequences. But you know what? Let's look at it from the encouragement. If we want to talk, let's reap the consequences of encouraging those around us. Let's reap the consequences of encouraging people and building them up. Our words can bring death, but they can also bring life. So I want to encourage you to use your words. So I'm sorry I've kind of hijacked this message from blessings as a whole to really, I keep coming back to words of encouragement because I think it's an important one for us as Christians. I think it's important in our society to be building people up, not tearing people down. I think it's important because how many people remember from when they were young something negative that's been told and spoken in their lives? Like I remember one person in particular who, well-meaning, would always say things like, yeah, you probably don't have the coordination for that, but it's good that you're having a go. And I'd hear that regularly. And it's kind of one of those things that's just kind of stuck with me. Oh, my coordination isn't great. And, hey, I'm going to be honest, it isn't great. But that doesn't mean I need to hear that regularly and that it gets stuck in my mind and might also have the consequences. So let's just say, on average, I didn't even bother looking it up. But if we remember one bad thing for every, say, 20 good things that are said in our lives, like, you know, like 20 good things will be said, we might remember one. Bad things are said in our lives, we just about may remember a lot more of them. So my aim is let's get the numbers in the positive favour 1,000 times bigger than anything in the negative that people hear. The more that we speak positive stuff in their lives, the less chance they're going to have room for anything negative spoken into their lives. So let's speak life into those lives around us. So what I actually want to do is head back to you guys just having a couple of minutes, possibly Steve can put on some music just quietly, just so we've got something in the background, so that we can just stop, spend some time, pray for a few minutes, and just consider something that we can encourage somebody around us. Now, if you guys want to take them and write a word of encouragement for somebody that's not here, feel free. But if you want to do it for someone here, then I think that would be great as well. And if you really want to... Yeah, Zoe's got lots of spares, so hit her up if you want to do more than one message. If you would prefer, then feel free to go up and give that word in person. But like I encouraged you earlier, I like the idea of it being written, and I like the idea of people being able to keep it for longer. And Malachi's seeing how long before church finishes? No, that's all right. All right, so if we could, yeah, just spend a minute. I'm actually going to pray, and then we're just going to spend 4 or 5 minutes to spend a bit of time trying to consider what to write. And if nothing comes in, that's okay. You don't have to write a note before you leave. We'll let you off. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed us more than we could ever dream or imagine. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to bless those around us. Lord, help us to have words of affirmation for people around us. Lord, help us to encourage, to build up. But Lord, also help us with acts of kindness, with gift giving, with ways to just show the generosity that you've shown us. Lord, help us to be better reflectors of you in all that we do, Lord. Lord, so that we may show you better in all of our lives. In your name.